Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. I'm shortening it this week. I've taken a few verses out, so I'm not going to be up here reading for 30 minutes. But it's chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, 17 through 27, and 32 through 45. It begins, "A certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus saying, 'Lord, the one whom you love is ill.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, 'Let's return to Judah again.' When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you.' Jesus told her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha replied, 'I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' She replied, 'Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world.' When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died.' When Jesus saw her crying, the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, 'Where have you laid him?' They replied, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, 'See how much he loved him?' But some of them said, 'He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?' Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, 'Remove the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, 'Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days.' Jesus replied, 'Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?' So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so they will believe that you sent me.' Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Untie him and let him go.' Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, allow these words of resurrection and hope guide us today as we listen to the story, as we reminisce about death in the past and how we can become alive through you. So be with us in this word, and be with us in the time ahead. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So we have been on this wilderness journey for about 5 weeks. I hope that you are all doing well. I know it seems long. Maybe the supplies you have tucked away are beginning to diminish. Maybe life is beginning to change. Maybe there is a glimmer of hope illuminating in the not-too-distant future. We are almost at the tree line, the edge of something great. So let me ask you again, what is your wilderness? What is challenging you this week? Are you thinking about when it will all end? Are you thinking about what is to come? Maybe you're thinking about this, a new understanding of life, a new vision of what it means to be alive in your wilderness. This week, we continue our journey in John's Gospel. This time we read from the 11th chapter. There is emotion, there is hope, filling the lines of Scripture. And today we hear about Lazarus. He was Jesus' friend. He was a beloved brother. He was a pillar of his community. He was working hard in his wilderness. But sometimes it all changes. Lazarus becomes ill, and before help can arrive, he dies. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, are grieving. The house is somber, filled with tears, maybe even a few hot dishes, and maybe a whispered prayer. Their wilderness is one that nobody wants to be in, one of sadness, one of grief. But 4 days later, Jesus appears. And right away, this story does something. It presses a question on us, not just a question about what happened to Lazarus, but a question about this, what it means to be alive. And maybe the more urgent question is this, what it means to be unbound. Because Lazarus doesn't just get resurrected. He gets released. He gets set free. And those are two different things. Just think of our wilderness related to that. In our wilderness, you can be breathing and not be living. You can be standing and still be bound. In your wilderness, you can walk out of a tomb still carrying the grave clothes of your past. And Jesus is there waiting and caring about it all. I want you to hear a story about a man who for years woke up every morning. He went to work, came home, ate dinner, watched the news, and went to bed. He did the same thing year after year, day after day. He said this, "I wasn't depressed. I wasn't in crisis. I wasn't even unhappy. But here's the thing. I wasn't alive. All I was doing was existing. But one day something changed. A friend of his invited him to volunteer at a local community kitchen. He honestly did not want to go, but he did anyways. And that night, something changed. As he was serving the people, as he was listening to their stories, as he was laughing with strangers, he said he felt something that he hadn't felt in years. He said it was like someone opened a window in a room and I didn't know I was suffocating. In this man's wilderness, he was closed off. He never knew anything else but routine. He knew he was breathing, but that night his wilderness changed and he started living again. I do think this is the kind of distinction that Jesus is trying to show us in this story. One thing that I've noticed in my personal wilderness this year is this. I lack patience. Any of you lacking patience right about now? Come on, you know, yesterday didn't help either, right? 70-some degrees. Is this ever going to end? There are days when I'm irritated. There are days that seem like they are never going to end. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's something else. But here's the thing. I'm realizing that it's okay. Today, when Mary and Martha send word to Jesus telling him, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill," Jesus didn't drop everything and rush. No, he lingers. He delays. It's like this. You pray for something, and it's like heaven puts you on hold. This is probably the way Mary and Martha felt. There is a meme that says this, God never gives you more than you can handle. We've all heard that, right? But sometimes I wish God didn't trust me so much. I'm guessing that in that moment, Mary and Martha would have loved a little less trust. But John clues us in why Jesus waits to go to them. Here's what Jesus says in verse 4. This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God. The glory that Jesus is speaking of is not about spectacle. Rather, this glory is about revelation. It is God revealing God's heart. And sometimes that revelation happens in the waiting. Jesus' waiting is not neglect. Rather, it is prepping the soil to where faith takes root. It is where we learn that God may not move when we expect God to move. But God, through it all, is always there and always moving nonetheless. And when Jesus finally arrives at their home, he doesn't start performing the miracle right away. Rather, what he starts is this. Tears. We are told Jesus wept. The shortest yet most powerful verse in all of Scripture. In this moment, though, Jesus doesn't say, "Don't cry, everything happens for a reason." Nor does he say, "Just be strong." He doesn't even say, "Let me explain to you what suffering is." No, all he does is cry. The Son of God stands at the tomb of his friend and he lets his heart pour out. It is in this moment of our wilderness that we can learn something, that is essential about being alive. To be alive is to feel. To be alive is to let compassion move us. To be alive is to keep our hearts open in a world that keeps trying to close them. I know that throughout our time in our wilderness, we have been taught that faith means being strong all the time. But Jesus shows us today that faith isn't about strength. It is about being real. It's about being open. It's about being human. It's about being alive. And today when Jesus walks to that tomb, this story becomes our wilderness story. Because Lazarus is not the only one in a tomb. We all have tombs. We all have places where life feels sealed off. We have places where hope has been wrapped up and buried. It is the wilderness we are trying to leave behind us. I understand some of us live in the tomb of shame, carrying old mistakes like chains. Some of us live in the tomb of fear, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being seen. Others might live in a tomb of grief, where the loss of someone or something dear settles like a stone on our chest. Some might even live in the tomb of exhaustion, where life has been so hard for so long that even good things in life feel suspicious. I have another story. There was a young man who came to the church looking for help with some of his bills. He moved from a different state because he heard things were cheaper. Rent was half of what he paid in his previous state, but he was working a minimum wage job at a burger joint and he just couldn't keep up with his bills. When asked about his parents, he said his mother died when he was young and he never knew his father. He grew up in the foster care system, living in 40 different homes before he finally aged out. Then he said this, "It is hard for me to accept when things are going well. It makes me nervous. I am not used to it." Friends, that is a tomb. That is what it looks like when life has taught you that hope is dangerous, that goodness is temporary, that love is unstable. Don't get me wrong here, but this young man is alive, but he is still wrapped. He is still bound by the grave clothes of childhood that taught him not to trust joy. And some of us know exactly what that feels like in our wilderness. They are the real tombs of our wilderness, the heavy tombs, the tombs that shape how we see ourselves, the tombs that shape how we see God. But today, Jesus stands in front of these tombs, and he says this: "Take the stone away." And like Martha, we say, "Lord, it's going to stink in there." In other words, it's going to be messy, and it will. And it's okay to have a messy wilderness, because healing is messy, truth is messy, hope is messy. But here's the good news. Through all the messiness, Jesus doesn't flinch, neither does God. Now we're finally at the moment we've all been waiting for. The end of my sermon. No, I'm kidding. When Jesus calls Lazarus to come out, and Lazarus appears, walking out of the tomb, alive, still wrapped, still bound, still wearing the evidence of the grave. Jesus turns to the community and says this: "Untie him and let him go." In that moment, Jesus brings Lazarus back to life. But it's the people around him that help him live that life. Jesus gives resurrection, but the community gives release. Jesus gives resurrection, but the community gives release. And this is where we come together in our wilderness journey, not as individuals, not as spectators, not as critics, not as bystanders, but as a church. A church that Jesus trusts with the holy work of unwrapping one another. Maybe on your wilderness journey, you feel tied up, you feel restrained, but nobody gets freed alone. Nobody steps into a new life without somebody else's hand helping to peel back the layers. And as a church, we are meant to be the place where that happens, where we gently, patiently, lovingly help each other through our wilderness by taking off the grave clothes we've been wearing for far too long. And that unwrapping sometimes looks like listening. Really listening. When they finally get the courage to tell the truth about their pain. It may look like reminding someone of who they are when shame convinced them that they're not worthy. It may look like sitting with somebody in their grief long enough for them to believe that they are not alone. There was this woman who felt like she had spent her years living small. She said she felt like she was wrapped in invisible bandages, old wounds, old words, old fears. So she took the initiative to join a small group at a church. Week after week, the people listened to her. They encouraged her, and they told her the goodness they saw in her. One night during the small group, she said that she started to feel like herself again. And someone in the group responded, "No, you are starting to feel alive." Years later, she realized this, that the people in that small group unwrapped her. They didn't even know they were doing it, but they unwrapped me, is what she said. Maybe that is what we need in our wilderness, a place to get unwrapped. And a good place for that is a church, a place where people get unwrapped from life's grave clothes. There was this little boy in Sunday school who heard the story about Lazarus for the very first time. when the teacher said, Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. The boy's eyes got wide and he whispered, "Did Lazarus come out fast or slow?" The teacher responded, "Probably slow because he was wrapped in cloth." The boy responded, "Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to come back to life." What a wilderness statement, though. Right? Because sometimes it takes a while. I'm sorry. I blame John. Sometimes resurrection is an instant, just to let you know. Unbinding, but the unbinding takes time. Sometimes God calls us out of the tomb in a moment, but it takes a community to help us walk again. In the wilderness, many of us are still wrapped up in the cloth of our past, even though we are faithful in our following as disciples of Christ. We have heard Christ calling our names, but we still need our church family to get us to the next step. In our wilderness, we need the hands that steady us. We need the voices to encourage us. And we all need a community that refuses to let anyone walk alone. So let me ask you again, what is your wilderness? What is your wilderness? Is it to be the church? Is it to unbind one another? Is it to be present with one another? Or is it to help others live again? Because in the end, resurrection is God's gift. Unbinding is our calling. And I know how hard it is to live in all of this when we are in a tomb in our own wilderness. Amen.